Lord Jesus, we do give you praise this day, Lord, for the many personal victories that you have helped people to win, Lord. We're so appreciative of each little one, Lord. That growth means so much. Praise your name. It strengthens the whole body, and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you. We're believing you, Lord, for perfect health for every member of the congregation. Perfect health, absolutely, Lord. We know that's our inheritance in you through the precious blood of the cross. Lord, we're here today to glorify the name of Jesus. For no other reason, we're here to do the will of God, and that your God's will through His Son, Jesus, might be fully accomplished in each life. And Lord, we realize we're not sufficient in ourselves to preach or teach or to know anything or to do anything. So we ask that you will come through your Holy Spirit and meet the needs that are here. You know the needs for unsaved loved ones, lukewarm loved ones. Lord, we pray you'll answer every burden, every prayer. We pray, Lord, that a true witness will be born so that we will not be asleep in this tumultuous time in which we're living, but we'll be on target, not missing the light on the horizon because of any pressures, Lord, but bearing truly toward our destination. Hallelujah. Forgive us our many sins and shortcomings, Lord, failures and folly, and help us to have a loving, forgiving attitude toward every human being. Cleanse us from all that is not of you, and that is of Satan. Cleanse us and fill us with the presence of God. In Christ we pray. We carefully praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. We'll turn to Joel 2. We'll read together verses 4 through 11. This is not a broken record. Still seems to be pressure on this passage. Sang about it this morning. Joel's army is arising. This army, by the way, is not the army of revival. It's not a witnesses going through the land. The two witnesses may be a foretaste of this, but this is the big one. The manifestation of the sons of God. Joel 2, verses 4 through 11. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Between Hosea and Amos. Where's Hosea? After Daniel. Where's Daniel? After Ezekiel. That's where they are. Round in there. Joel. All right. Joel chapter 2. Some still looking for it. Little book. This is that which was spoken by Joel, Peter said. And everybody immediately began to go through their testament and try to find it through their pocket scroll. All right, Joel 2, verse 4, and here we go, through 11. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Now the marching of this army is fixed, the time of it by verse 10, the quaking of the earth, the heavens trembling, the sun and the moon shall be dark and stars, and we know that is the sign of Jesus' return. So this shall take place in association with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is a true vision. This is the true vision of the day of the Lord. And I think that God is giving it to us because we are near the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord will be characterized by a strong people. This is the most distinct and distinguishing characteristic of the day of the Lord. Now, our current traditional doctrine has been a vision of a weak people. That is, a people who could not stand and who must be rescued from the face of Antichrist by the Lord. Kind of, you all come up in a Sunday school picnic. This is a false vision. This is not true. The Lord is not coming to as a great spiritual Dunkirk to evacuate a weak people because they can't stand. This is not a true vision, and I think that it has caused tremendous havoc in the Church of Christ. The true vision is as of a great people and a strong. The people aren't formed yet, but they're going to be formed between now and the time of the coming of the Lord. And I was interested, last Tuesday we were preaching about the same thing, and we were comparing this passage with 1 Thessalonians 4, with which it compares very closely. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Well, that's what this is talking about, is the coming of the Lord's army and the blowing of the trumpet and the climactic coming of Christ and the installation of the kingdom of God. And Bill Campillo Jr. was saying to me Tuesday night, he said the thought crossed his mind, the Lord descends with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and cries, retreat. No, he's not going to evacuate his people. He's coming to empower his people and to call his army unto himself. But we must be prepared beforehand. Now, this army is mentioned several places. It's mentioned in the third chapter of Habakkuk very clearly. It's mentioned in the 19th chapter of Revelation very clearly. It's mentioned in Micah, the 5th chapter, less emphasis, and also in Jude, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. And then in other places, 1 Corinthians 6, where Paul says, don't you know the saints shall judge the world? In Psalms 149, to execute them, upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. And so on and on, we find this notion of the great people and the strong, the judges who shall appear with Jesus. Romans 8 calls it the manifestation of the sons of God, not the children. The Greek term there is the sons. There's a difference. The huios, the sons of God, Romans 8. So this means a lot to us because we are Christians, and we cannot accept the fact anymore that you can be weak and still be in the cream of God's crop. You cannot do that. And the Scripture plainly shows, and we'll be getting to that as the Lord leads and wills, that in the end time there will be a great shaking following the pattern of Gideon's army, where you had 32,000 people, and then those who were frightened went home. You had 10,000 left, and then these were tested, and you finally ended up with 300. And this is the pattern of the day of the Lord. And this practical significance to us here is this. We are entering now into this time of sifting. The Spirit is speaking that clearly. And if you want to be in the army of the Lord, you're going to have to fight for your life. I could wish you comfortable things and say 83 is going to be a time of ease. None of the prophets that I know of are saying that, except the prosperity prophets, and I believe they are false prophets. But those that are seeking the Lord and fasting and prayer and are serious with God and are willing to bear their cross are all saying the same thing, that 83 is going to be a tumultuous year. The Lord's, to those who love God, it's a good thing. It's a blessing because they cry for righteousness. They're not crying. They're not praying for ease. I heard recently that a church got together and prayed and fasted that God would not judge America, would not shake America. I can't even conceive of such an attitude. What do we want? The thing to go on? Abortion to go on? Drunkenness to go on? Thievery to go on? Rape to go on? Is this what we want? Don't rock the boat because you and I are happy. No, we don't want that. We're more concerned about our nation. We're more concerned about righteousness than we are about comfort. Praise the Lord. And so we weep and we mourn for what we see in our nation. We're not content. and we see the nation overextended economically and so on. We can see the tremendous dilemmas that our leaders are in as they try to play politics and yet do something sensible. And we can see the thing collapsing. And I speak now not as any more knowledgeable than you. Just as a lay person, I can see that the economy is so overextended that it cannot possibly be maintained the way it's going. Something has to happen. As a lay person, I can see that, and you can see that. So even the natural signs are pointing toward the fulfillment of David Wilkerson's prophecy and the others who have prophesied. It's on us. And to look otherwise and think otherwise is just simply an ostrich approach. It's just, it's going to be all right. It's not true. The Spirit of God is not saying that. So the things that God has said in His Word are a delight to us. They do not frighten us. They give us hope. And they explain why we are undergoing the things that we are. And they're also a stern warning to us, as the prophecy was this morning. Be prepared to fight for your life. And you and I are going to be tested. And this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. But do not let yourself be sidetracked. Do not let yourself be sidetracked by your professional life or your career or your home or anything. Don't be sidetracked. Travel light and recognize that God has given us all these wonderful things, but that we don't put maximal involvement or attention. Now, we do our job thoroughly and well. We take heed to our family and pray for them. But our possessions, our home, our job, all these things we hold before God, because all these things are going to be placed in jeopardy. And we have to know how to live by a miracle, how to be sustained by a miracle, how to protect our family through prayer. We've got to know these things. The days of floating are over. This is going to be a year of testing. And we'll be lucky if the nation goes through the year without economic collapse. It's going to come sooner or later. I mean, the handwriting is on the wall, and the prophets are saying the same thing. And we're not to fear, but what we are to do is to look to God and to pull ourselves out of involvement with the world system. Praise the Lord. Now, it's clear in the prophets that before Jesus comes, there will be a great people and a strong. So the things that will come and that are going to come are going to accomplish this. They are going to cause each Christian to come into a decision. And we either are going to say, God is it, and I'm going to go all the way with God, and I'm going to praise the Lord and rejoice in Him and be strong in Him, or we're going to try to hold on to the world, somehow adjust and try to straddle both fences until we're pulled apart, one or the other. And it probably will happen for many of us this year. We'll go into places so desperate, that we'll just have to know God or not know God, or we're going to go down. Praise the Lord. That's what we're up against. And I say praise the Lord, and the sooner the better, because I'm not content to see our nation become a playground for demons. I'm not willing to pay that price for my own creature comforts. I want God to move in this nation. I don't care what it costs. I want the devil driven out of America. And I want our nation, if it's a handful of people left that are praising the Lord and glorifying God, I'm not content to see our nation just become a cesspool of fleshly activity. Hallelujah. And hand our grandchildren hell as an inheritance. I'm not content to do that. Praise the Lord. We want the thing done right. All right, in verse 7 it says, they shall run like mighty men. Now, it doesn't say they shall walk. It doesn't say they shall jog or meander. It says they shall run like mighty men. And in Jeremiah we have a verse, chapter 12, verse 5. Some of you probably have it memorized. Jeremiah 12, verse 5. I want this to sink into your spirits. This has been a kind of a watchword over the years that we say one to another when things get uproarious. Jeremiah is after Isaiah. I'm having a problem finding it here. 12 verse 5. They say, boy, we wished we had a positive preacher. Go through the prophets sometime. Boy, they make me look like Santa Claus. Man, a tidings of great joy. Boy, the prophets really had at it. Read it sometime in that light. You say, boy, that was a negative group. All right, Jeremiah 12, verse 5. Yeah. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trusted they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? In other words, we are in a time of peace in our land. We're not being persecuted to any great extent. Sometimes in the Christian schools there's persecution. But by and large, we're not being persecuted with anything near the viciousness the Christians have in time past. We're in a land of peace, where most of us have something to eat. Maybe we don't have all to eat we want or what we want to eat, but we have something to eat. Most of us probably did not come to church hungry. Most of us have some clothes, some kind of dwelling. We're not really a destitute people living in the harrowing edge of poverty, most of us. Not from the looks of the cars, anyway. Praise the Lord. Now, we may be worried, but that's the point. If we can barely make it with things the way they are now, so that we're practically beside ourselves with nervousness, what will we do when things get rough? If we're walking, running with the footmen, which we are doing now, what will we do in the swelling of Jordan? Now, the Bible says, arm yourself with a mind to suffer, and that's the purpose of my preaching. If you tell people things are going to come like this, there's something goes to us mentally, and we kind of take up a hitch in our belt and say, okay, we're going to do it. But if we tell people nothing can hurt you, it's going to be all lollipops and ice cream, and God loves you, you're going to get richer and richer, you throw people off balance. Because then, when tragedy hits their house, how are they going to stand? They'll say, well, this isn't what was preached to me. Everybody else is doing wonderful, and look what's happened to me. And woe is me. I couldn't help but being touched, as we're discussing this morning, and I don't want to go into detail because this will be on the radio, but someone was mentioning this morning about a person who had been a Christian and now finds himself in prison, and you know the rest of the story. Put yourself in that person's place. You heard the testimony that was given. How many know what I'm referring to? I don't want to be more explicit. All right, now I imagine that person at some time in his life was a joyous Christian. And where is he now? Would he ever believe that he could come into such a strait as that? See, but that's a real human being. That's a person who was one time Christian and who now is fearing God and searching the Bible and having to live with the memory of this sort of thing. This is what we're talking about. This happens to people. This happens to people. How does it happen? It happens because in some area of our life, we let a little thing go that God was dealing with. God said, you better let that go. It's going to be a problem down the road. You better, and we don't, and we fool around, and we fiddle around, and all of a sudden, wham! A thing happened that in a million years we never believed would have happened, but it happens to people. What I'm trying to tell you is it happens to people. It's real. And things do happen to Christian families. And we're coming into a place where there will be such tension on the home, such tension on the Christian family. It will take all of your prayer and resolution just to keep your family together. Not to accomplish missionary work in the Azores. Just to survive. Just to survive with God. You're going to have to really give it your best shot. And if you do, God will help you. God's not out to see how many he can destroy. But we, as Israel always have, tend to be careless until we're brought to terms by severe tribulation. And what I'm saying is, why wait till you're under the axe? Get ready now. Because God's going to test you. You're going to have fiery trials. But you're going to come through like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego if you're all there. But if you're hoping against hope that somehow the preachers of prosperity are right, and that seed is in your mind, and the lightness doctrine that we're all going to be caught up silly willy nilly, it's going to weaken you to the place where you're going to be grappling for your life. And it's false doctrine has done it. It's not the preaching of the cross. Interesting sidelight on our prophecy about the earthquake. Hank says that they called together the school personnel, and the experts told them that Poway is so low and the water table is so high that in the event of a severe earthquake, now this was the school district, this wasn't church, that the ground will liquefy in Poway. That's in the school district. Am I right, Hank?
Yes, sir.
Call together. See, so You can't, well, it's not going to happen. When the people of the world say so, and the Spirit of God says so, and your common sense is telling you, don't hide. Say, God, what meaneth all of this? And the Lord will show you what to do. Look to your P's and Q's, and don't become careless. All right, now, these strong people, back in verse 7, they shall run like mighty men. They are not weak, lukewarm Christians. They are strong. They shall climb the wall. Now, this is an obstacle course, and God has got you on an obstacle course now, and one of the events is called wall climbing. And God is going to keep putting in front of you walls, one wall after another, and you're going to have to learn how to climb, to run through a troop and leap over a wall. You're going to have to learn how to do that. How do you climb walls? You curse them? Bellyache? Get irritated? Why did it happen to me? Yeah? It's the pastor's fault? No, that's not how you climb a wall. The wall will stay there and you'll stay on the wrong side of the wall if you take that approach. What do? Pray like man. Just pray like man. God, either dissolve the wall or lift me up or show me a hole through it or do something. And God will do that. But you're going to get practice in wall climbing. Because these people are able to climb walls. They shall march everyone on his ways. Now the church, you can see that the Christian church, where are these people going to come from? The Christian church goes everyone in his own way, not in God's way, but what pleases him. I think I should do this. This is a good idea. Let's try this. But the secret of the thing is to present your body a living sacrifice. The more the people present their bodies a living sacrifice, the stronger the church becomes. Because we cease getting aberrations. People that had a good idea. Oh, I had a good idea and I'm all enthusiastic. Then we don't need that. What we need is people who know what God is saying. We need people who cannot be deflected by voices or their fancies or their imagination or some new idea. Because new ideas hit Christianity all the time. Now we've got the answer. This is how to build your church, etc. and so on. That's not where it is. It's time to let every mouth be shut and to listen to God. We need to know what God wants. Praise the Lord. And the only way that you can find it is by getting down on your prayer bones and saying, God, help me to bear my cross. Teach me what you want me to do. And when you do that, you will go on your way and you will flow with the body of Christ. But other times you're going to be zigging every time everybody else zags. You're going to bring confusion into the body. You're going to bring lack of harmony. And you wonder, why am I not getting my own way? Well, the reason is because you're off the course. And the reason that you're off the course is because you're walking in the flesh and the soul. And the reason that you're walking in the flesh and the soul and causing confusion and lack of harmony in the body of Christ is because you're not down to brass tacks with God yet. You're still trying to accommodate the message to your way of life. You can't do it. It's got to be all for Jesus. 100%. The flesh will not stand in what God's doing. You can't have your own way. You cannot have your own way. I cannot have my own way. Nobody can have his own way. We've got to have God's way. Praise the Lord. And this army is like that. They are dead, living people. They are people who have died with Christ, and Christ is living in them. There's no confusion. There's no sudden creative ideas. I'm not trying to destroy creativity or enthusiasm. They all have their place, and they're all wonderful at the level in which we are. I'm talking about maturity in the body of Christ. I'm talking about Joel's army. These people have had everything burned out of them except the will of God. Praise the Lord. These are God's mighty men. Their reward will be great. They shall not break their ranks. They cannot, wherever Satan hits, there's nothing facing him but strength and the power of Christ. He cannot get at their group from behind or from their flanks or from the rear or any place. There, everyone is solid. That's the point. There's no weak in this army. That's the point. Praise the Lord. 300 men out of 32,000. There are no weak in this army. Well, you say, Brother Thompson, the church is full of weak people. What about them? What about my Aunt Harriet? She was not a strong Christian. Where is she? Where's my Uncle Sam or whatever? I can't answer for anybody's Aunt Harriet or your Uncle Sam. I do not know what God is going to do with people who do not make it. I do not understand that. All I do know is this. The Bible teaches clearly that the church is going to be without blemish or spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The church, when God gets through sifting and building and refining and glorifying, will be a body of people without blame. Can you bear it? Praise the Lord. What do we think or what do we say when we hear such things? I guess what we hear and what we say will determine our destiny. If we say it's not fair, that's to go against the Word. If we say God can't do it, that's to go against faith. If we say God cannot do it to me, then that's to lose faith in God, and we overcome the world by faith. If we become angry and say it's not democratic, then we are filled with the spirit of humanism and of Antichrist and the rights of people and of Laodicea. The Bible teaches clearly that this army is without weakness. Now, we know our own faults, all of us. We know our shortcomings. We know the pit from which we were dug. Every one of us in this room, I don't think anyone here is deceived about that. We know our shortcomings and our foolishness. Is that right?
Amen.
So when we hear such a word as this, that they don't break ranks, that they walk on their way, there's only one answer to the thing. The Bible says God is able to present you faultless before His glory. And what we say is, God, if that's your standard, then you said you would do it, then that's what we want. And God says to us, and He said in this church many times by prophecy, that's what I've called you to. And I love you, and I want you there. And don't get distracted. If we will do our part, God will do His part. It's not a question that the calling is too high. The Bible contains the calling. There's no question as to our adequacy. God hasn't asked us to be adequate. He's only asked us to have faith and be obedient. The thing is to do is with our rebellious, unbelieving nature. That's the only question. God has called us to His highest and His best. But He would have us warned constantly because of the colorfulness of our culture and the tremendous pull. Now God is pulling you, and the industrial life of America is pulling you. And you watch and mark my words, that in this coming year, your company is going to ask for your soul. Not just for your 8-hour, 40-hour a week. They're going to find good and sufficient reason to demand you that you be absorbed. And it will appear to be right. And you'll have an abundance. But you're going to have to lose with God to gain it. Because God wants your job to receive your industrious attention, but not your soul. And not, it's a minimal situation. God wants your maximal mental, creative, emotional vitality wrapped up in this calling. And He's going to put demands on you. And your job is going to put demands on you. And you have got to decide. And that's what God's warning you about today. Watch it. Because the industry is going to ask for an absorption that is going to cost you Joel's army. And it's going to seem so right. But it is Antichrist. Because we are dealing with the kingdom of God, that which is eternal. Everything else is significant for a season, but when Joel's army marches, your profession and mine won't mean anything. Only the immortal army who are going to share the spoil with Christ will mean anything. Now, God has got to get his people from somewhere. And you are invited. If you do not accept, God will get somebody else. There's no question about your adequacy. God isn't asking you to be adequate. The question has to do with your faith, with your willingness to give it your all to God, to maximize your emotional and vocational aspirations in God. That's what God's asking for. He'll take care of your adequacy. He'll make you a mighty man. God can do it for you. He can do it for anyone. The question is not, can you do it? God's going to do it. There will be such an army. Praise the Lord. The prophet has already seen it. Whether you're in it or not depends entirely on your willingness to overcome in this year under these circumstances. Not next year, not next month, but it's a day at a time from here on out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They shall, when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Now, the sword is in the land, and you're going to hear, I believe, more such preaching as you're hearing this morning from many sources, and I think David Wilkerson is a good example. And these people have gone places with God so that when they hear such preaching, it doesn't convict them anymore. Because whatever is preached, they've already been there and it's been burned out. And you can preach fire, judgment, you can preach anything you want to. And wherever the sword hits them, it's already been there, it's already cauterized, it's already has the flesh and the soul has died. And the Spirit is alive. No matter where the sword of God hits them, they just rejoice. Praise the Lord. So when you get where a person can preach as fiery a gospel as is imaginable, like Ezekiel or Jeremiah, and all you do is rejoice and say, pour it on, double it, pour it on. Then you're falling on the sword, and it's not wounding you, because you've already been made fireproof. Praise the Lord. There's not a weak person in this army. And we've placed it for you in time. This is the coming of the Lord. Notice, if you will, Zechariah. Now, there's another one you're going to have trouble with. Zechariah chapter 12. You get some idea of what God is doing. And see, the doctrine of the rapture has caused a breach between Israel and the Gentiles. This is probably the worst aspect of the doctrine. Let me refresh your minds. When the Old Testament prophets are prophesying about Israel, they are prophesying about us. Aren't they prophesying about the Jews? Yes. Yes, they are. But we have been grafted on Israel. That's what the apostles taught. They didn't preach a Gentile church. Nowhere would you find the apostles preaching a Gentile church. They preached that we Gentiles were grafted onto Israel. We have become proud. We have envisioned. Now, mind you, listen to this. Talk about false doctrine and error. The angel came to Mary and to Zechariah and said, there is going to be born the one who will bring an end to the problems of Jacob. A horn of salvation is raised up for us in the house of our fathers. Jesus was born to bring salvation and redemption to Abraham's seed, to Jacob. He's the son of David. We've lost sight of that. Praise the Lord. We have said, now mind you, in contrary to every New Testament scripture, we have said God's going to take a Gentile church, bring it to heaven so it can't be hurt, and the Jews are going to face an enraged Antichrist. It's just the opposite. Just the opposite. Jesus was born, and go back and read the Christmas tidings to Zechariah and to Mary, and you'll find out that what it has to do almost exclusively is with the house of Israel. Jesus came for the house of Israel. Jesus is the one of whom the prophets speak. Israel. Jesus and his people. We've got to get this Gentile church out of our head. There's no such thing. And we've got to welcome God's going to turn again to His people, to the Jews. He's doing it today. And I'm telling you, if you want to see a rejoicing people, because they've been waiting for this for so long, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus is coming to the Jews. And there's going to be no taking of a special Gentile bride. That's a complete fabrication. Did God turn to the Gentiles? Yes, He took us and grafted us upon the root so that we might be part of His people, so that we might be called a people. But the salvation is to the Jew. Hallelujah. And we're the dogs that eat of the crumbs under the table. We Gentiles. And you see, we've gotten puffed up. And the Jews are down here. We're going up to heaven. They're settling for an earthly kingdom. So when I'm reading to you from the prophets, whether it's Joel or Zechariah, I'm talking about you if you're a Christian and the seed of Abraham. I'm not talking to any Gentiles. A Gentile cannot inherit the promises of God. See, the new covenant is made only with the house of Israel. After this, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And to become a part of it, you have to become part of the house of Israel. Hello, Jews. Are you the seed of Abraham? You better be. Praise the Lord, because all the promises are to that seed. And so these things are speaking to us, not to Israel after the flesh. They're speaking to the Israel that God cares about, which is Jesus and those who are part of Him, whether they be Jew or Gentile. And God has turned again to the Jews in our day. Thank God for that. So when I preach this to the Jews, they just lap this up. I mean, this is just because they don't want to become Gentiles. They don't want to become Gentiles. They want to remain Jews. So my message to them is, you stay Jews, because that's what you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to become a Gentile. All right, Zechariah 12, verse 8. Now, dig this one, huh? Get a hold of this. In that day, now whenever you see that expression, you know what that day is? The day of the Lord. See, that's the expression, in that day. There's just one day that counts. That's the day of the Lord. That's the day which you're preaching, the day of Joel's army, the day of Christ, that day, in that day. Shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem? Well, we're the inhabitants. Paul says that Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. Jerusalem after the flesh is in bondage with her children. Will God turn to Jerusalem after the flesh? Yes, God's going to bring the true Jerusalem and bring it back to the Jerusalem after the flesh. But in the meanwhile, the only true Jerusalem is the Jerusalem which is above. That's Sarah, and she's the mother of us all, whether we be Jews or Gentiles by race. Now, that's what Paul taught. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. Now, grasp that. Just get a hold of it. Say, where's the feeble member of the church? Here he comes over the hill. Ah, the earth is shaking under his feet. Isaiah 60, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. And Jesus said, among those that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John. But he that is least in the kingdom, it's greater than he. He that is feeble shall be as David, the writer of the Psalms. That's what the Word says. Come on, feeble. Amen. Well, look what it says about the strong. It goes on talking about the strong. And the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord. Now that's Joel's army. That's a people, a great people, and a strong. They are not weak. The bride, it says in Song of Solomon 6, is as terrible as an army with banners. This is the true vision of the day of the Lord. Not a weak people, not an evacuated people, not a silly group playing silly games, musical chairs. God loves His children, but it's time to grow up. Praise the Lord. Amen. A great people and a strong. All right, and then we find out how He's going to do that in the same book, Zechariah, in chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. You'll love this. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. Now, I don't believe myself that they will die to the place that they will be lost. I don't think what God is talking about this. But he's talking about the part that's going to live. Now, you remember in Revelation chapter 3, the church of Sardis. And Jesus said to that church, what? You have a few names. Even in Sardis, in the church, who shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now, what about the rest of the church of Sardis? They are not living in that sense. They are not part of this church without spot or wrinkle. So, the Christian, when Jesus said, unless we forsake all, take up our cross, and follow him, we are not worthy of the kingdom. It's a higher goal than we have understood. Praise the Lord. Can you make it? Yes. You don't have to be cut off. That's Gideon's. Two-thirds was cut off there. And I will bring the third part through the fire. See how God works? He takes a great company. The kingdom is as a net let down to the sea, brought in of every kind. And then at the end, the angel shall divide, shall sever. Many are called, few are chosen. Can you bear it? See, our teaching of the rights of people has interfered with our ability to perceive what the Scripture says. The calling today is individual to him who overcomes. You can choose to be in Joel's army. You'll be brought through the fire. And will refine them, try them, refine them as silver is refined. That stands for redemption. And I will try them as gold is tried. That stands for our faith given to us by God. Gold tried in the fire. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. We find that same thing in Isaiah. Now, the burden of the Spirit this morning as I was praying is describe to the people the siftings of God. The fact that the church is going to be sifted. That's the burden. Isaiah 4, verse 3. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion. You see that again? Now this appears in the Scripture in type in Gideon's army and then by direct prophecy. You see, God does not talk about a great mob at the end that's going to be carried up to heaven. You won't find it in the prophets. You will not find it. What you find is that in the end time, in Isaiah's vision as the coming of the kingdom of God, you will find it will be a time of a purification of a bride, like Queen Esther, when she was made ready for the king. That's what we are facing, is a sifting and a purifying. And he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Everyone, they're, the little among them shall be as David, the feeble among them. One shall put 1,000 to flight, 2 shall put to thy. Everyone is greater than John. Come on, faith. Many that are last shall be first. Let your faith get up there. God is not asking for your adequacy. He is asking for faith. We overcome the world by faith. Now look what Abraham was called upon to believe. With no child, it is stars. Seed would be as the stars. Can you believe what God has said? If God said he can make you greater than John, can he do it? Come on now. God has said it. And he said to many that are first shall be last, and the last first. The word is plain. God's army is coming forth in the end time. You say, why is that? It's because we have all of the examples of history to draw upon. Everything that every righteous man has done from the time of Abel is upon us, and we are at the climax, and we are without excuse. We must satisfy the heart of God and rise to this challenge. See, I'm little and I'm weak. That's good. That's good. You're in a good position to hear from God. Let God take a hold of you. What? You say, what? Look at Zacharias and Elizabeth. Old people. Old in age. They had a child by a miracle, just like Sarah. Huh? There they were. It says they were advanced in years. And who would have thought? Elizabeth was so happy. He that is mighty had done wonderful things. And all her friends and relatives came and rejoiced. When God picks out somebody, decides to do something, He does it. Praise the Lord. All you've got to do. And John, the angel came to John, and John says, how will this be? But he said it with the wrong attitude. See? How will this be? You know. And the angel says, you won't be able to talk. Well, that's your reward for your attitude. This is what I'm going to do. Then you either say, boy, you can do it, Lord, hallelujah, like Abraham, or you say, no, it's not me. No, I'm just nobody. I'm too weak. Oh, it's John the Baptist. He's a great one out there, but boy, I don't care if the Bible says so. It's impossible. But you get your eye on a new car or a new house, and you find out whatever you want will become possible soon enough. Because you want it. See? You want it. Boy, you make it come to pass one way or another. The thing you want, you'll get. Huh? Well, you can say amen or not. That's the way people are. The thing you want, you'll get. And if you want to be in God's best, you'll get it. And with this, I'm going to close it. Isaiah 4, and this is what's going on today. Verse 1. In that day, see that expression? That's the day of the Lord. Isaiah 4:1. Seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name. And that's exactly what's happening today in all the churches. They don't want the reproach of not belonging to Jesus. So they say, all right, Lord, we want to be married to you. But we're going to eat our own food and wear our own clothes. We're going to adjust what you're saying to our way of life, and we're going to be happy and successful. It's not going to happen. You're not going to eat your own food. You're not going to wear your own clothes and be married to Jesus. You've got to eat His food, and you've got to wear His clothes. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we see it in the Scripture, Lord. It's very plain that your coming will be the sound of a trumpet, the shout of the archangel, the voice of the archangel summoning the angelic host to battle. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. And our spirits within us leap to think what you're doing. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. We mourn now, Lord. We mourn over the state of our nation, Lord, and over the vileness that's in the world. Lord, we mourn over it. We're not rejoicing over it. We're mourning over it. We weep over it. We're concerned, Lord, because your church is a valley of dry bones. We're not happy and content now. And we're not at ease in Zion. But we're calling upon you this day, Lord, to move in the hearts of your people and to call out for yourself a great people and a strong. Lord, we pray that the light of God will come and all that's in the hearts will be made manifest. Hallelujah. And we pray that all of your people will choose to become strong. And Lord, we pray as we see the hole that modern industry and the economic system, the hole that it's gaining upon people. Lord, and we recognize that that hole and that grasp, while it's so plausible, is completely from hell and is Satan's attempt to divide the hearts of your people so that they will not pay adequate attention to you. Oh, Jesus, make these things manifest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make them manifest and reveal for all to see that we are not to be married to industry, and we are not to be married to the banking system, and we are not to be married to anything else, any pursuit or line that would consume our interests, but we are to be married only to the plans and purposes of God. Remove from us the whole concept, Lord, that we are supposed to be lightly and frivolously happy in this time.
Remove from us all concept of the Gentile church that we're going to be carried away to silliness and lightness while the Jews bear in themselves the onslaught of an enraged Antichrist. Remove that doctrine from us, Lord, for it has defiled your church and made them proud and has given us a wrong attitude toward your chosen race, Lord. Take away from us this whole notion, Lord, of the evacuation of a weak people. Lord, we need this vision removed from us. Take away from us, Lord, the thought that we can eat our own food and wear our own clothes and yet somehow be part of the bride of Christ. Oh God, we have so much that needs to be cleansed from our hearts and minds. Oh God, this whole silly notion of what Christianity is. Jesus, the false vision that we've had of the day of the Lord, remove it from us. God, we're a desperately earnest people, Lord, and we want the truth, and we're prepared to walk with you, Lord, no matter what it costs. And I pray, Lord, that we will see 1983 for what it is, and we'll be able to read the news, Lord, with an eye to see, as we can see the forces that are shaping up, Lord. And help us, Lord, to be optimistic in a realistic way, and not to be foolish simpletons that wait, Lord, until we're destroyed. Jesus, in your mercy, warn us. Oh, God, don't let us go. Don't let this church go. Make it a true witness. We need your help, Lord. We're swimming uphill. We're going against a tide, Lord, that is coming in of Antichrist that has deluded your people and made the church tainted with money. Eliyahu was self-aggrandizement and the whole foolish merry-go-round. We're trying to resist it, Lord, and to go in your way, and we need your help. We need your help. Hallelujah. Send the Spirit of truth into us. Oh, God. Oh, God. Help us to see, Lord, the only true way is to follow Jesus. And Lord, you are going to shake and you are going to purify, and help us to rejoice in it, Lord, and to be part of it and to recognize that it's necessary and the will of God. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe there's some here this morning that are still trying to walk in the world, and you know it. And my preaching makes you uncomfortable. I shouldn't say my preaching. The scriptures that we read are uncomfortable. They're not pleasing. And you feel a little befogged on the situation. But you want God's truth. Come up to the altar this morning. I guess I'm going to be giving an altar call every service, I suppose. But I must follow what I believe God's will is. If you feel in yourself this morning you're not emancipated from the world, that you're still hoping against hope that somehow you can hold on to the worldly prosperity and yet serve Jesus Christ, and you feel that maybe there's some delusion here, would you come to the altar? Praise the Lord. If that's true of you, oh God, help us to bear a true witness. Ask God. God doesn't want you grief-stricken. He wants you happy, but He wants you happy in Him, not happy in the flesh. Praise the Lord, eating your own bread and wearing your own clothes and trying to make it work. It won't work. It will not work. Is there anyone here this morning? Praise your name. Must give you a chance.
We have chosen, contrary to what you have been taught, to dwell in the tent of wickedness. Rising early, as the Lord taught and trained you. Yea, and even your parents have bestowed knowledge and care and nurturing with admonition upon thy life. If the choice of thy life is to dwell with the wicked, know that they are destined for burning. Yea, there shall be no separation. There shall be no angel coming to separate. Those that dwell in the tents of wickedness shall be destroyed. Yea, those who are tares among the wheat shall be separated. But dwelling in the tents of wickedness, their part is to be burned. Yea, thou shalt choose thy life this day, whether to dwell in those and with those who are anti against thy God, and you know this. You know know within your heart and soul whether you choose this path of your own volition, or whether you say to thy God, help me. Yea, I would be delivered even as Lot was delivered. I would not be destroyed with the ungodly. I would choose my way to dwell in those who know their God, though the way be thorny, though it be a path that I would not choose on my own by sight. I know the end thereof is peace and joy. I trust in the living God who has chosen for me peace. Yea, I will follow my God this day, for I will choose to dwell where I am not dwelling, and I will not be taken from their tents. O karema saga dios sabi o ramachendai, goma rabatindo kare anshego. Come.
Let me repeat the call. Remember that Christian in prison. It can happen. It can happen. God is not playing games. If you're here this morning and you have been taught and admonished, and without anyone's knowing it, you're dwelling among ungodly people, you're making your habitation in the tents of wickedness, we're giving you a chance this morning. Will you come forward and be prayed for? There may be several. Usually when the Spirit's moving, there are several. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, let your conviction be clear. God, give grace and the strength to respond to any who you are dealing with this morning, Lord. Whether it's about worldliness, whether it's about sin or what it is, give them the grace to respond. Maybe if we all stood, it would be easier. Praise the Lord. Now take this opportunity, I tell you, God is moving. God is moving. Our land is close to judgment. There's no need for you to get caught in it. You can keep your way right before the Lord. Hallelujah. If it's you, come. Praise the Lord. If God is dealing with you about your life, worldliness or sin or whatever, you get yourself up here. Hallelujah. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. I feel the pull of the Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. A true witness has been born, Lord. Help those who have need of help, Lord. Help those who have need of help. We're going to be dismissing pretty soon. If it's you, get yourself up here. Don't walk out the door. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse unless you do what God wants you to do. If you are been taught differently and you're having fellowship with ungodly people, and you know it, you get yourself up here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Listen, if that was for you this morning, you get yourself up here. Don't go out that door. Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Now, when we dismiss, do not go through this door to the tape room. Please go on the sidewalk around. The altar service is serious, serious business in the day in which we're living. Serious business. So please, don't open this door up here. Go around the side, if you would. We appreciate it so much. If when we're leaving, you change your mind, as someone here, I do not believe in the Spirit that we've hit it yet, but there's a limit to what we can do. So it's the decision is yours. I do not feel peace. So I'm not going to hold you any longer. But if you change your mind, you feel it's you, would you, as we're being dismissed, just come forward. We do not have a mob around the altar, a melee. You'll be here. It'll be private. People will deal with you until you get you cleared up with you and the Lord. Praise you. Praise
the day of God's judgment and his finality is at hand. Yea, even as that day did come to Ananias and Sapphira, yea, that day shall come, saith the Lord. Yea, they did decide in their heart to go on with God, and sure they were called. And yea, they did go on, and they did assemble themselves with those that had decided to go on with God. But that day of finality did come, and they did say in their heart, we will hold back this small part. And yea, that day of finality and judgment did come, and surely they did fall dead and were lost. And the Lord would say, that day is at hand. Repent, repent, repent while there is yet time, and come unto thy God, and surely I will call thee, and I will choose thee, and I will draw thee unto myself. Come, saith the Spirit. Come, saith the Lord God. Come, before that day of finality does fall upon thee.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you've heard it. It's the Lord. If it's you and you're hardening your heart, you're asking for tremendous grief and maybe destruction. So please, look to your soul. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's in your hands, Lord. You've spoken truly. You've spoken clearly. We pray, Lord, that you will have your way. Now with each person, guide them in all truth. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Leslie, if he will, to conclude in prayer.
Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, it is a lamp unto our pathway. Lord, and a light, Lord, unto us. We thank you, Jesus, Lord, for your continual warnings. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, Lord, that we do have the opportunity to come before you. Lord, we are aware, Lord, that your Spirit will not always strive with man. Lord, you will not continually, Lord, be refused. Lord, but the day is short. And Lord, we must ask, Lord,
yes,
while there is time.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
we must
Lord.
Seek the Lord while there is yet time to seek him. Oh, Lord, we pray, Lord God, that this word, Lord, and this sound of your voice of warning not be lifted off of our ear and out of our spirit, Lord, until we, Lord, we come into that place we desire. We pray, O God, that we will be of that army. Lord, we'll press on into that place, Lord, that you have prepared for us. That we overcome, Lord, and that we be a part of that army. We
yes,
ask, Lord.
Lord,
your blessings and your dealings, Lord, to be continually upon your people. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, let's leave this place up here. I'm going to ask Georgia Ann Marley if she'll come and work at the altar. And then, please, let's...